pots put on sand. The engine started forward more swiftly, its wheels biting the track with a firmer grip at every second of their progress. The throttle was now wide open. From the stack belched a fierce fountain of sparks, and the bell jangled continuously. "She'll do it, she'll do it, she'll do it," said Potts to the beating rhythm of the piston rod. The engineer knew the creature he was driving. He heard her pant with the exertion. He saw the flames belching from her nostrils. He heard her clamoring hoofs. He heard the squeak, squeak of a spot where the harness was wearing. The first half of the freight had now beaten past. There was the long flash of the open space, soon to be filled with the wreck, and then tank cars again, the tank cars of the flying end of the train. Then a streak of green light, and Potts knew that his engine was clear of the caboose. But would he pull past far enough to save the last sleeper? All this time the passengers slept quietly. The conductor was lounging in the baggage car, and the brakeman was joking with the newsboy. No one knew of the danger save the two quiet, stern men in the engine cab. And in the seconds which elapsed after Potts first scented danger, they lived a year.